Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Good morning. Welcome to church. We are so glad you could make it here with us this morning. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Acts chapter 23. Moving from there to Romans chapter 1. Acts 23 to Romans chapter 1. As we're doing that, we want to welcome in all those listening in online, our friends from all over the world. So, High Ridge family, give them a big warm round of applause as they're joining us this morning. Welcome to Longview, God's country. We also want to celebrate a couple of wins. We have 32 new church members that joined our church Sunday night. So, welcome them home. How about that? Welcome to the family. You're just as crazy as we are. And then we also have a great report. The city of Longview has finally issued us our building permits to open up our brand new worship center next door. So that's going to be starting all this week. They told us that the city of Longview was notoriously hard to work with. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys just don't have Jesus. Don't know what's wrong with you. We've got him fighting our battles for us. It has been awesome to see God open up supernatural doors and help us be able to make room for our future. And so the gym that is across the street will become our new adult worship center, seating 400. So you won't have to be crowded and you can get a little bit of elbow room. And we've got just a little preview. We have amazing air conditioning coming in. So just thank the Lord in advance for what's coming. We're going to continue on with our series and actually finish it up today called The Best Me. Somebody say The Best Me. I've been challenging our church to ask ourselves, what would it look like if I were the best version of myself? What if I wasn't just living in my potential, but I had fulfilled all of my potential? What would it look like if I was the 100% all-in version of me? And so a lot of the times when we think about what the best version of us looks like, we tend to think of things that we could discipline ourselves to get better at. And there's nothing wrong with discipline. There's lots of great things that we could say about discipline. But beyond that, I want you to know that the best me is not just found in how I discipline myself, but how I position myself. There are things that I can do, choices that I can make that will position myself to unlock God's best for me. Somebody say amen. And so we've talked about being led by the Holy Spirit, learning how to operate in the gifts, all the things that we can do that are choices that we can make to unlock even more of what God has in store for each and every person. And we've been seeing different video testimonies of people from our church that you may or not recognize. I've had people say, I don't know this person at all. I'm like, yeah, because we have three different services. And now you're getting to see people in other services that you probably haven't seen before. And it's a good thing when you get to meet your extended family. So this week, let's catch you up. We're going to start a brand new sermon. And this is, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. The best me is an all-in me. Somebody say all in. All in. I'm all in. Now that comes to us from a poker term. If you're a card guy, over the past 10 or 15 years, the World Series of Poker has become a huge thing. And when people hear the term all in, all the ears perk up and you think, okay, this person is either got a really, really great hand or they're bluffing, right? But they're all in, shoving all my chips in. What would it look like if your walk with God was echoed by being all in? What if you gave him all that you have? I want to encourage you today that the best you is an all in you, a 100% all that I have belonging to the Lord, all in me. And as we're talking about that, I want you to know that all in Christians are fearless. All in Christians are focused. And when you're fearless and focused, you could do amazing things. A focused you is a great you. A fearless you is a great you. Focused and fearless Christians are not afraid to share their story. And people love good stories. Movies and books and video games and radio, podcasts, all the things that you can see when people tell stories. It's amazing to me that throughout time, God has used his people telling their story when they're fearless and focused, they're sharing their testimony, as you might say, to promote the gospel. And when God's people understand the power of their testimony, when they stop being afraid, when they get focused, they really start sharing the power of what God's done for them, it unlocks the best version of you. I could have said the best me is a testifying me, but some of us are saying, hey, I don't know, testifying, that usually refers to being in court, and that means that I've been in trouble, I've made some bad decisions, somebody's testifying against me. Okay, so I'm just going to say the best you is all in you. But what I mean is the best you is a testifying version of you where you're all in and using your story to promote the kingdom of God. There is power in your story. I want to show you here through a group of scriptures about how the Lord has used people's testimony to do things that even the gospel couldn't do. You see, there are situations where people are completely closed to the Bible. They're completely closed to Jesus. They want nothing to do with anything that has the word church in it, but they will still listen to a good story. They'll still listen to your story. There are things that your story can do that even the gospel can't do. And we've lost the power. We've lost that beautiful part of Christianity where we teach ourselves to share the story of what Jesus has done for us, and we challenge ourselves to get better and better at it. You have a story to tell. You have a testimony. It looks different than the person sitting next to you. But you have a story, and the best version of you is a version of you that's not afraid to share their story. You know, many of us will go all in and we'll share our stories, or we might cheer for things that we really like. Many of us this afternoon will cheer for a team. Hopefully it's for the Cowboys. If you're saved and love Jesus, it's for the Dallas Cowboys. If you're not, we're going to pray for you. And I still have people that, you know, will send me messages every week because I know I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, but I'm on the Lord's side. And I have one guy that every single week will say, "I can't believe you're bragging about." And I didn't even brag. But all Cowboys apparently, you know, are bragging. "I can't believe you're bragging about being 3-0 when you beat the worst teams." I'm like, hey, you can only beat the people that line up across from you. Somebody say amen. I can't help that they're bad. But finally one day I said, "You keep making fun of the Cowboys. You're not a Cowboys fan, obviously. Who do you cheer for?" He goes, "I cheer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers." And I said, No. I got 5 reasons why you're a horrible person, and they're all Super Bowl rings. In Jesus' name. But you know, I will cheer for a team that has no idea who I am, and I will swear my allegiance and defend a team that could care less about me to a person that I could care less about. But yet, what are we willing to do for the one that carried the weight of the world on his shoulders? When did we become ashamed to show our love for Jesus? Your story, your testimony is a powerful thing. And when you're fearless and focused and you're defending the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life, you are the best version of you. It's a powerful thing. So the best me is an all-in me. If you're a note taker, write this down. My testimony is an often underutilized tool. My testimony is an often underutilized tool. Now, the Apostle Paul was notorious for throwing his testimony into places where it would just cause absolute panic and chaos to the enemy. And I love the fact that he is fearless and focused. And when he was trying to share the gospel and people were close to the gospel, he would back it up with his testimony. And so in Acts chapter 23, the Apostle Paul uses his tool to throw a theological hand grenade right into the middle of an argument, which is awesome to see. And if you've never seen this in Acts 23, this is a really cool chapter. I don't have time to read the entire thing, but basically, the Apostle Paul is standing in front of the Sanhedrin court, which would be like our version of, say, Congress. And on one side, you've got Republicans. On the other side, you've got Democrats, but they're called Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he tries to share the gospel, and they get so upset at him because they don't want to hear it. They're completely closed that one of them actually hits him in the mouth. So can you imagine watching C-SPAN of a congressional hearing, someone mentions the name of Jesus, and the guy next to him just punches him in the mouth? It's about to go down. And so Paul says, okay, you're close to the gospel. I'm just going to throw up my testimony and see what happens. And he lobs this theological hand grenade right to the middle of the room. Look at this in Acts 23, starting with verse 6. It says, when Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees, the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the Sanhedrin or the court, "Brothers, I'm a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I'm being judged because of the hope in the resurrection of the dead." And when he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, no angels, no spirits, but the Pharisees, they affirm them all. And the shouting grew loud, and some of the scribes in the Pharisees' party got up and argued vehemently, "We find nothing evil in this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" And when the dispute became violent, the commander feared that Paul might be torn apart by them. And he ordered that the troops go down and rescue him from them and bring him into the barracks. So Paul's like, oh, you're close to the gospel? I'm just going to throw out my testimony. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a son of Pharisees. And they're persecuting me because I have hope in the resurrection of the dead. It would be like today watching C-SPAN. Someone shares their faith. They get hit in the mouth. And their response is, I'm only here because Beto was trying to take my AR-15. Boom. And then you have the Republicans go off about this. That's exactly what we're talking about right there. You're trying to take our guns. And the people on here say, but they killed kids. This is like someone screaming, but I voted for Hillary. And that's wrong. And Paul just sits back and enjoys the chaos. Boom, that just happened. Your testimony has the power to disrupt the enemy's plans. I want you to see the power that Paul uses his testimony for. Oh yeah, you want to fight? I'm going to use my testimony, and you guys are going to end up fighting each other. And chaos ensues just because of the power of his testimony. There is power in sharing your story. There's power when you start talking about where you've come from, when your past is no longer divided and taken away back by your shame. You're no longer defined by shame, but you're saying, I'm using this to bring glory to God. That's a powerful place. You have a story to tell. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says at the end of all things, at the end of time, that Christians are going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, hey, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus did, and the word of your testimony. So if Christians are afraid to share their faith, we don't see a lot of people sharing their testimony anymore. It's because the enemy has convinced us that there's not a lot of power in it, that you're going to offend somebody, that you're not going to have the right answers, you're not going to have the right words, that you're going to mess up and look like a hypocrite. And he's stolen the power of your testimony. But there's something supernatural that happens when we line ourselves up with the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and how it affected my life. What Jesus did, how it affects me. Those two things together are powerful. People will listen to your story. Here's the even better part. No one can argue with your story. You weren't there. People can argue and debate the Bible, Jesus, dinosaurs, or evolution, or this or that, or this policy, that policy, but no one can argue with your testimony. So of course the enemy would attack it. He doesn't want you sharing your story because it's powerful and no one can argue with it. Do you see? There's power in your story, and yet Christians have gone silent. We've withdrawn and hidden behind things like shyness or busyness or fear of offense. And we've lost the power of our story. Is anybody getting something out of this today? So there are decisions that I can make to unlock God's best for me. So if you're a note taker, write this down. Three choices to unlock God's best for me within the lines of being an all-in testifying Christian. And the choices that you can make are, number one, I choose to pray out loud. Somebody say out loud. Out loud. When did silent prayer become the majority of prayers? Let's have a moment of silent prayer. In my mind, I'm thinking, when are we going to eat? No, I found that when people ask me to pray for them, generally what I'm going to do is lay a hand on you right then and pray out loud. Why? Because number one, I'm probably going to forget, honestly. But number two, there is power when I begin to call upon the name of the Lord. I believe that. There's power when we pray. And when we pray out loud, all of a sudden that person's faith rises. And when my faith combines with your faith, we bring God into the equation. We invite the supernatural to happen. Out loud prayers are a great way to teach yourself how to begin to share your story. If you can't pray out loud, you're going to have a difficult time sharing your testimony. You can pray out loud. I've never seen something paralyze so many, especially men. Women don't have a problem in general with praying out loud, but men do for some reason. Let's just have a word of silent prayer. Just talk. Or then we suddenly switch to the King's English. You don't talk like that. Holy Father, wherefore art thou? Without the express written commission of Major League Baseball and its affiliates, I don't know what happened right there. I just blacked out for a second. Dude, just talk to him. Talk to him out loud. Be fearless. Focus. Talk to him. Ask him. Tell him what you need. Have a conversation. But I have to choose to pray out loud. I'm not saying it's easy if you've never done that, but it's necessary and it's good for you. And you'll find that the first time you do it and the second time you do it and the third time, it gets easier and easier and easier. I choose to pray out loud. I wrote this down. Your volume speaks volumes. Here's a second decision that you can make along the lines of being an all-in testifying Christian. I choose to worship out loud. There's a reason why we turn the music up on Sunday mornings. There's a reason why it's loud in here. Why? Because we're trying to cover the fact that you can't sing. And that's okay, because the Bible tells us that we are to make a joyful noise. Come on, say joyful noise. Pastor, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know if you noticed, we don't have a lot of buckets here. It's okay. Make a joyful noise. Get loud with it. Psalm 47 verse 1 tells us to clap your hands. Clap your hands, all you nations, everybody. Clap your hands. And it says, shout to God with a loud cry of joy. He's worth cheering for. He's worth getting loud about. Is what you're getting loud about worth getting loud about? There are lots of things that we get loud about. Is it worthy of our volume? What could be more worthy than our praise? This is simply telling God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for who you are. You are worthy. You're worth getting loud about. Making the choice to worship out loud releases the best version of me. It puts my fears to rest. There's an old song that says it soothes my doubt and it calms my fears. The best version of me is a worshiping out loud me. Here's another decision that we can make. Number three is I choose to stop making excuses and being timid. I'm no longer allowing the enemy to keep me from sharing the story of what Jesus did for me. I am not ashamed anymore. That's something that keeps a lot of people from sharing their story because they carry so much shame, so much guilt. They're so afraid if I share my story, I'm going to look like an idiot because I used to make a lot of bad decisions. No, what you're going to look like is someone that's human. You're human. We've all got a past. When you stop allowing it to define you and instead allowing it to open doors for you, you're going to find that it's the best version of you. God wants to speak through you and use your story. Stop making excuses of why you can't. Well, I'm shy. You just don't understand. Yeah, I do. Well, I'm timid. I understand. I get it. Well, that means I don't have to talk about Jesus. No. No, I don't think so. Well, I'm what you call a silent witness. That's not a thing. I'm what you call an undercover Christian. That's not a thing. Nobody calls it that. I choose to stop making excuses. Stop hiding behind timidity. The Apostle Paul says this. I want you to see this in Romans chapter 12. It's an important scripture that you need to have memorized. If you've never memorized a scripture, this is a great one. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm never going to be ashamed of that. You can't make me be ashamed of the fact of what God did for me. Why? Because it brings power to give hope to everyone who would believe. This is the hope of the world. You're not going to make me ashamed of that. I was looking up the word ashamed. What does it mean when he says I'm not ashamed? It comes from the Greek epikonomai, which means to be singled out and embarrassed because you're lined up on the wrong side. So think about being in an argument and about halfway through you realize that they were right, but you were arguing so much that you're like, I'm just going to keep on going with it. Some of you are laughing like, I totally have been there. Think about playing sports and you look around and realize that you're lining up with the wrong team. Oh, sorry. I'm with these guys. I forgot which. Embarrassment. You singled out and embarrassed because you lined up on the wrong side. Paul said, that's never going to happen to me. Why? Because I'm on the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, there is no shame. God's side is always the right side. He said, you're thinking that I can't line myself up with Christianity because at some point I'm going to think I made a huge mistake. And that never happens. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not worried about being embarrassed. Why? Because it's the right decision. It's the right thing to do. It's the power of God for all who would believe. I'm not ashamed. And some of us need to take that word and bury that into the core of who we are. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my story. I'm not ashamed of where I come from. Why? Because it's the power of God released through my life. It's what God uses to bring health and hope and encouragement and challenging to everyone that I come across. It's my story, and there's none like it, and nobody can argue with it. The enemy has convinced more Christians that your story is worthless. And it's a lie. It's powerful. It's a powerful thing. You have a story to tell. I want to show you a video that it's a video testimony of some friends of mine that used to do things the world's way. But in the process of turning to the Lord, they found that being all in was a better version of them. Check this story out if you would.
We are Chris and Tracy Klein. We have four daughters and one son between us. We were actually high school sweethearts, but we only got married 2.5 years ago.
So a little bit about me. I grew up in a church, and what I remember about that time was there was a lot of expectations, a lot of rules, a lot of stuff you could do and you couldn't do. And that went all the way up until I became an adult. And then when I became an adult, I realized there was something still missing. And the way I filled that void is I started just buying everything I could, material things, you know, cars, boats, trucks, motorcycles, whatever it was, I'd buy it. And when that didn't seem to help, that's when I really started getting kind of angry with God. And when I stepped up the game, I built an internet company and sold it. And then I built a restaurant. After those types of things, I went through a long, bitter divorce, which was horrible. And then ultimately I ended up having to close the restaurant. And then I needed a job, because now I didn't have the restaurant. And so I just remember falling into a pretty bad depression and despair over that.
So this was a very difficult time for our family. We were both dealing with our exes. I was going through a custody battle with my ex. We had unexpected visitation during that time, and the girls and I were in a lot of counseling and just hard times on all of us. Our finances were struggling after Chris closing the restaurant, and I kept telling Chris, though, God has a purpose for all of our struggles during this time. We didn't know what it was and sometimes didn't even know how to handle it, but we stuck together and prayed, and I kept telling Chris that God's got this.
Well, during this time that we had all this stuff going on with our family, it just was a lot of noise, in my head. And, you know, when we started getting some of these things taken care of and some of that stuff taken away, and the noise went away, and I was able to actually hear God speaking to us then. And so around that time, we were still looking for a church, and we settled on High Ridge. We then joined a group, and throughout the group, we, you know, were able to open up about things that we were going through, and the group knew that I was looking for a job, and so they prayed that a perfect job would come, and it did. A company that I worked for in the past reached out and said, hey, your old job's available if you want it, and I was like, yes, and so, you know, went to work, and so that was great. So then we went into a Freedom group, and, you know, throughout the process of the Freedom group, I realized there was a whole bunch of baggage that I had buried really deep in my heart that I needed to take care of. And so that helped me address some of them things and to let some of that stuff go. And then during that time, Doug reached out for the men's group, and I started meeting with them via coffee meetings, and you know, realized that it's okay for guys to talk about their feelings to the other guys. And so I just want to continue growing, you know, with my relationship with God, and I just don't want to ever go back to the guy I was before.
With Chris's growth in the Lord, it's making an impact on our family. We are co-leading a freedom group. We're both making positive differences at work. The girls are helping their friends at school go through hard times. At the dinner table every night, we ask the girls and each other, what is the best part of our day and what are we thankful for? We also go over our wins for the day, and we pray a lot more as a family.
Well, people at work definitely can see a difference. People who had known me before, you know, I had a lot of anger I was dealing with, and so I took it out on everybody. But, I mean, if you'd ask people now, they're like, yeah, he's a completely different guy. He's very laid back. And, you know, Pastor Tim had preached a sermon about going all in and believing. And once you do that, God will transform you into something different. And that's totally happened here. So I pray for my coworkers. You know, if I see somebody struggling or having a bad day, I'll stop and ask, can I pray for you? You know, I try to share our story whenever we can, when somebody will give us the opportunity to do that. Recently, we just did a 9/11 tribute at work, and I had the opportunity to pray for 100 of my coworkers at once, which is pretty awesome. I didn't think I'd ever get to do that. We do pass out the invite cards to the grocery store, inviting people to church and restaurants that we go to. We serve on the Dream Team. Everybody in the family does. And we're just all about advancing the kingdom. And we don't want to go back.
Thank you to the Kleins for being willing to share their story of being all in. I don't know if you noticed, but 6 times they said the word group. Group. And for those of you that are OCD that realize that I've forgotten to fill in one of your blanks, we're going to pray for you. But I want to back you up for just a second because this is important. Number 2, I develop my testimony in a group setting. I do it within a group. And if you're not able to get into a group right now, we've got groups meeting all over the place. We'd love to have you, but maybe start between you and your spouse. And I'm shocked by how many wives and husbands still don't pray out loud for each other. It's foolish, my friend. Start there. Don't talk to me about your lack of intimacy in your marriage if you're not willing to pray for each other. Are you kidding me? Pray over your children. Whether you're single or single again, pray out loud, but you develop it within the group that you have. Then when you get into a group, one of our groups of our church, you're going to find that other people start sharing their story with you, and you start sharing your story with them, and you start praying for each other, and it becomes really, really easy to learn how to share your story. We develop it within groups. I want to finish today with a getting practical section because I feel like no matter how good of a job we do on Sunday mornings, if it doesn't apply on Monday mornings, if there's nothing I can do on Monday, then what good have we really done? Amen? So let me give you some things, some practical things that you can do to get better at sharing your story. And number 1, give an invite card to somebody. We've made it really, really easy for you. You don't even have to save anything. We've got invite cards located on our table as you're walking out. Grab a card when you're going to a restaurant. Leave a generous tip and leave an invite card. You don't have to say anything, but it's gotten you on this path to inviting someone to church. We make it easy for you. That's a layup. Easy. Now, by the way, if you're not a generous tipper, do not invite them to my church. You go to Moberly, you go to Grace Creek, like that. Tell them you go somewhere else. You don't come here. But tip them generously. Let them know that we're generous people. God loves us. He's been generous to us. We choose to be generous to you. Come to my church. You'll like it. But give an invite card to somebody this week. That's an easy way. I'll push you a little bit hard if you would. Pray for someone out loud this week. Oh, Pastor, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Pray for somebody out loud. You're going to be surprised and shocked when God starts doing miracles because you asked him to. Not because I asked him to, but because you asked him to. Let me just clue you in on something. You're the church. You're God's hands and feet. He wants to use you. He wants to speak through you. Pray for someone out loud this week. I've found that when I start praying for God to send me someone that needs help or someone that needs me to pray for them, they start showing up and I have to tell them to stop. Like, okay, Lord, that's enough. I can't get anything else done. But ask him, Lord, would you send me somebody to pray for? And pray for them out loud this week. I'll challenge you further. Practice your story, your testimony with a friend. And lots of Christians have no idea how to really share their testimony. We've not been taught or trained to, and the church has stopped teaching us from the pulpit. But it's powerful, powerful. I want to encourage you to be able to share your story in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You've got 3 minutes to capture someone's attention and share your story. Now, how do I do that? I use the 10-80-10 principle. If you're a note taker, you might want to write that down. 10% on my life before Christ, 80% on how I met him, what the circumstances in my life were that led me to that, and then 10% on the back end of how it's changed my life. 10-80-10. People are focused on that moment that you had where the light bulb went off and you decided to be all in. People want to hear that. So you don't have to spend 14 hours telling your life story. Nobody cares. But if you can give me 3 minutes and hit the highlights, tell me a little bit of your life before Christ and then how you met him and what he's done in your life since then, people will listen to that. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Practice it with a friend. 3 minutes. Time yourself. I want to be able to share my testimony in 3 minutes or less. Memorize it. So that when you're called on to share your story, you're ready. You're not fumbling around and thinking, man, I had my shot and I missed it. Here's the last challenge I'll give you, is to video your story, your 3 minute story, and share it online. Share it online. For the past 6 weeks, you've watched different couples and some special, wonderful people share their testimony with you. That's not an easy thing for them to do. But we videotaped it and shared it with you to give you an example of what it's like to share your story. Your story is powerful. And through your social media circles, your story has the power to reach the farthest ends of the earth. And you will encourage and strengthen people. You're going to find that people will say stuff like, I never knew that about you. Or that encouraged me. Or they'll say things like this, I needed that. I needed that. Your testimony is powerful. So I'm going to challenge you. Videotape it. Share it online to social media. Tag me in it. Tag Highridge LV if you would. Put a hashtag, the best me. Hashtag sharing my story. Hashtag all in. Hashtag PT's awesome. Hashtag go Cowboys. Share your story. I think it would be awesome to see the hundreds and hundreds of people that have been in these services or the past two services today to start sharing their stories. What happens if all of us start using our social media influence instead of having people tell us how great we are and show them this highlight reel version of our life? What if we showed them the real, authentic version of me? Share your story. You'd be surprised at how many people start sharing it and liking it and sharing it with their friends that are going through the same thing that you went through. Your story has power. Let me finish with this. The best you is just a few decisions away. And the question remains, are you all in? Are you all in? Or are you like the Apostle Paul that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus did for me. And I'm willing to tell it to the world. It may not be polished, but it's me. It's my story. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from Highridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from him and he knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.